And this is our number two.
It's time for the fastest 15 minutes in the news. This is Dory's Fastest 15.
Hey, that's me. A world of news in a tiny little 15-minute package. I didn't know what to say next since I decided to do something different to start it. In a tiny 15-minute package just for you. Welcome to our Fastest 15. And Sean, we made a suggestion last week. They didn't follow it. We may be in the Coronavirus Task Force White House briefing at 2:30 this afternoon, and I suggested last week that President Trump come out to a little dead mouse. I was shocked that they chose not to do that last week.
I know you were pretty upset. You confided in me, which was nice of you.
Yeah, I actually, just so people know, I called Sean Friday night, and I was crying.
Yeah. And that's not a surprise. You cry on the air, so it's no surprise that you cry privately even more.
Right, when the president doesn't follow my orders. So, how are you holding up? Sean is so essential that he is now the him and Andrew Enzel, who is so fantastic from noon to one, and then Sean takes over at one. But you guys are so essential, you are now the only parts of our show still in the building.
Yes, I know. That's true. It's sort of bittersweet because, of course, I would be loving to work from home, but it's also great to be able to come in here and be the one that's sort of the force field beyond the airwaves, right? On the, you know, nothing can
what
get
about.
Yes.
What about working in a practically empty building? Is that lonely or is it very, very nice?
I like it because I don't really talk to too many people around here except for the ones that I'm sort of friends with. So the less people here that I don't have to talk to or make eye contact with is kind of great.
That's how I go through my whole life there.
Yeah, no, I mean like...
But not my choice. It's just how everybody else feels about me there.
Yeah, I mean, luckily the people that are here, I do enjoy them. So, like, everyone else that apparently I don't care for are gone. So, great.
Okay, nice. Like me and Nicole, right?
Oh, present company excluded.
Nice, okay. Yeah. And Nicole's working from home now. But you've still been able to... I asked you to find a six-year-old piece of audio, and I thought there was no way, Nicole, that you were going to be able to do that today. Or did you find it? I mean, who found that?
Oh, that was Nicole.
Yeah.
Okay. How?
But I do have that. We're very connected.
But, we have show archives that you can access going back to 2014?
Yeah, I was very pleased. About my limit, 2014.
Okay, well, that's what I needed. And how are you doing? Because Nicole is probably top five most social people at Bonneville, Seattle. And so I would think that this would be harder on you than anybody.
It's torture. I do not like it at all. It's kind of, it gives me anxiety. It gives me, I don't know, I get antsy around here. It's not fun. I do not enjoy this. I do enjoy just working in sweats and slippers.
I was texting with Moyer and Wyman and Ray Roberts and Babineau and Bumpus a few days ago. And Moyer, or somebody asked the question, what's more, asked the question, when was the last time you wore pants to the group? And it was pretty much almost unanimous, except for Moyer, who runs a company. But I respond truthfully, I have not worn, other than shorts and sweats and pajamas, I haven't worn pants for more than 2 months now.
Wait, it was probably before that because you don't wear pants often.
Well, I have jeans that I rotate in. I've got...
Those make rare differences.
Nicole, you're turning into a robot.
Yeah, you're digitizing on us, but... but literally more than 2 months.
So
pockets
Dory,
of worn pants.
Have you, now this could be a delicate matter, but have you tried to put on a pair of those pants to see if you can still fit into those? Because I'm just saying, like, if you've been wearing just sweats and pants that fit to your form, you might be sad when you do have to put pants on someday.
I'm working on that right now, to be honest with you, because I was, through no choice of my own, I was forced into a lot of, I mean, mostly inactivity before my knee surgery, and it was killing me, because I usually go to the gym and do cardio every morning and all of that, but it had been a few months before the knee surgery. I couldn't even do cardio, the low impact stuff, because of the pain. And then I'm just getting back. But As I told you, Sean, I went for about a 7.5 mile bike ride this morning. Mm-hmm. And I'm really working to, now that I'm pain free and I'm starting to get the range of motion back. And I got a lot of catching up to do. And so by the time all this is over, I'll be able to fit into my college outfits.
Okay, well, good. I'm glad that you're getting back on the bike, too. That's really good for your knee. I mean, that's just good good improvement.
I was out on the Burke Gilman again this morning. Okay, so let me get to this audio that Nicole worked so hard to dig up. So we got the news this morning when I woke up.
Ain't no sunshine when she's gone. It's not warm when she's away.
Bill Withers,
ain't no sunshine,
one of my all-time favorites. He passed away at the age of 81. But what a musical legacy, man. And what a pure voice, too. Can we here, bring it up a little bit? Let's go to the I Know.
Wonder if she's gone to stay. Ain't no sunshine when she's gone. And this house just ain't no home. Anytime she goes away. And
sunshine when she's gone. So this morning, as I was doing show prep, I listened to the entire Bill Withers live at Carnegie Hall. And I am telling you, if you haven't heard it, it is one of the best live albums. He was, and not just a singer, he was such a great communicator with the audience, and he was funny, and and I know he's been silenced for many, many years because of illness. And now finally today at 81, Bill Withers passed away. But that reminded me of just a fantastic story that I wanted to share with you. So when Pete Carroll was the coach at USC, he had Bill Withers involved in a prank with his entire football team, because the team had kind of adopted spontaneously Lean On Me, another great Bill Withers song. And it was just, you know, we're bonded together, we're brothers, lean on me. And they started singing it all the time in the locker room, in the team meeting room, and it kind of became their song. And I don't even know if any of them knew that, you know, Bill Withers was the singer. They certainly didn't know what Bill Withers looked like. So Pete Carroll, he decided to use Bill Withers to pull a prank on his Trojan team.
We've been having in some locker rooms.
I should set it up there. So he said an NCAA official, they often travel from university to university, and they do health talks and don't gamble talks and all of that. And Pete Carroll said, yeah, I'm sorry, you guys, but we got to sit through in this meeting an NCAA official who has a health warning for all of us. And this kind of older African-American guy steps up to the microphone. None of the players knew that it was Bill Withers.
We've been having in some locker rooms across the country a problem with a fungus that we haven't seen in a long time. So it's the only fungus that I know associated with any bone damage. What I would like to add is you guys have been pumped big time.
And let's Pete Carroll. When I talked to Pete, this is 6 years ago, when I talked to Pete because I really wanted him to tell me this story of what I just thought was a fantastic prank.
Would you quickly tell my listeners about what you did with your USC players and Bill Withers?
Well, matter of fact, Malcolm Smith was part of this, as I recall. He was a young player at SC at the time, and the guys had done some singing in the locker room, and they were singing a Bill Withers song, I guess Malcolm was part of it. So they'd come up to our team room, and we got him as a young player to start the singing, and the whole team kind of was doing a little sing along.
And it was Lean on Me, right?
Yeah. It was Lean on Me. And it was, it's kind of a good team bonding type of song. Yeah. And they were just having fun. We were just having fun with it. It was not a serious moment at all. But we had a good time with it, and I knew that Bill was in town, and so I just put a call out to him and told him, hey, our guys are singing your song, I think it's pretty cool. I just want to let you know, and if you ever had the thought of coming by here, we'd love to have you, And so he jumped on it. He said, yeah, I'd love to do it, Coach. I'm all in. And so we work out a little deal here. Back at SC in the day, the facilities were kind of cruddy, and the guys were taking showers, and they were in about 4 inches of water and stuff. It was kind of nasty, The facilities were really rotten. And so I kind of punked him a little bit and told him that we had had some government groups come in and they're testing, for how clean our place was. And then we got some problems. And there's going to be an agent from the government who's going to come talk to us. And so.
And he was going to come talk about fungus, right?
Yeah, so it's some fungus or something like that. Anyway, so we didn't have to give Bill a whole lot of lead. And he just took it and ran. So he comes in and gives him this terrible speech and how he had been afflicted with the same kind of fungus when he was growing up as a young man. And so he set his whole life in order to work in to try and better the situation for other people. He just went on and on and on. And he said, what we're going to do is we're going to have to fit you guys for hip boots for the showers, when you take showers. And so he brings in his daughter. His daughter comes in as an advisor or something to the situation. And she's talking about the equipment that the guys are going to have to put on every day to take showers. And he's going on and on. And we're going to have to test everybody, and it's a flesh eating whatever, it's a horrible story.
And they have no idea it's Bill Withers. They just think it's some old government official.
Yeah, they totally bought into it, and so he couldn't go any longer. He went about 15 minutes. He was milking it. And anyway, so he said, you guys have all, you Trojans all been punked, my name is Bill Withers, and I appreciate you for singing my song, So they went crazy. They're cheering and stuff. And so he doesn't sing. He's got a thing. He won't sing anymore. And he's got a condition where he can't sing. But we had an old piano in there, and we pulled up a couple of his YouTube songs, and so we had some fun. The guys were clapping along. And then he started playing the Lean on Me song, and the guy sang the Lean on Me song for him. So it was really, really an incredible, event for us. And we had a great time. And he's been a great fan of ours for a long time, and we still stay in contact, and he's a wonderful guy.
How awesome is that? And so, when they pulled up the piano, here's what it sounded like.
I want the YouTube version.
Times in our lives, we all have pain, and we all have sorrow, but when we are wise, we know that there's always
that listening to this, it doesn't just make me tear up. I got tears going down my cheeks right now. And I'll tell you why.
It gives me chills every time.
I'll tell you why. Because as a coach, there is nothing greater. And I'm talking whatever triumphs you have on the football field, on the basketball court, that when you have a group of kids, you know, whether it's high school or college, and they come together like that. And I had a group of girls, and just spontaneously, it was Miley Cyrus's The Climb that they adopted as their team song. And it was a great group of kids, and we got fourth in state with that group. And they sang that right before we took the floor for the final time. And this was kids. I had coached two of them since kindergarten. I got the high school job right as they got to high school. So two of these kids I had coached for 13 years, kindergarten through senior year. I'd coached the seniors. One was since second grade, two since fourth grade. So, I mean, it's like the longest relationship a coach and player can have. And there's a video on YouTube. But as they're singing Miley Cyrus's The Climb, in the moment before we take the floor for this final game ever for fourth in state, and I'm just sobbing in the corner of the locker room because, you know, I've been with these kids forever. And so when I see this Bill Withers thing, man, it's that's beautiful. That,
I want to link up the video because
coach.
It's such a powerful video. I mean, it really does. It gives you chills every time.
Yeah, it's great. And that's
I'll make sure we post
Pete
that
Carroll's.
Somewhere.
That is the secret right there to why Pete Carroll, you know, was one of the most successful college football coaches in history and has had this incredible, you know, run with the Seahawks as well. Man, last night they showed the 2006, was it? Texas-USC national championship game when Pete was coaching, where Texas won with just Vince Young being a Superman in the last 5 minutes to come back from 12 down. But Pete Carroll had won 34 straight games at USC before that. And I am proud to have him on the show every Friday during the football season. Okay, just real quick here. And Sean, you got an out time for me here?
Yeah, we should break probably in the next 30 to a minute.
Okay, well, I don't want to goof you up here. I want to get some Jay Inslee stuff. I'm sure we'll have time at the top of the hour. We're expecting the White House Corona Task Force briefing at 2 o'clock, but they are always running somewhat late. So I got so much news still to tell you. Also, unbelievable response to our exclusive story about what's going on at Bellingham High School. I'm checking all your text messages on that, and so we'll get caught up in all this stuff in the time to come. But that is your Fastest 15.
This has been the Fastest 15 Minutes in the News. Fast Stories, Fastest 15.
Hey, a brand new feature that we launched last week, catching up with my contacts during COVID, where I just go into my phone and call people, old friends that I haven't talked to for way too long, and we let you eavesdrop on it. This is one of the funniest people I know, a very important friend, and you will hear who it is next here on the Dory Monson Show. Hey, screw it. We're doing the best we can working from home and all the technical challenges that accompany that. And I talked to Pat Cashman right before I went on the air, and somehow part one of the conversation has disappeared. So you know what we're doing? We just got Pat on the line, live, real, actual, live. The great Pat Cashman joins us here on the Dory Monson Show. Hey, Pat.
Hey, Dory, how's it going? Well, hold on a second. I'm going to take my mask off.
I appreciate
you know,
that.
That's the only part of the original interview I remembered.
And I that's threw the thing. You were so funny and brilliant when we talked right before the show that you have to somehow match that now.
Yeah. Yeah, I've never been as on fire as I was during that tape interview.
And it's somehow so suitable that this interview would be screwed up, because that was the hallmark of my radio show when I was doing it. So it actually is perfectly suitable.
And is it fair to say, Pat, because you are such a nice person.
Yes, it's fair to say,
Pat. You didn't tolerate technical problems very well. They made you very, very angry.
No, that's not true. It's actually the opposite is true. Loved it when things screwed up, because I loved pointing it out. No, I did. You couldn't be more wrong.
I learned from you, and that's where I figure out quickly, okay, the thing we recorded is not going to work, and so I'll just be honest with my listeners, and you were texting me, and you said, you want to do it live? And so I'm just being honest with everybody. I love this. This is what live radio is about.
Between you and me on the radio, because I was never honest with my listener.
Now, in case people do not know, Pat and I worked together at King 1090 back in the late 80s and early 90s. And Jane Shannon, who was a morning news star at Cairo and Como, she worked with us. And Lisa Brooks.
Lisa Foster.
Yeah. Lisa Foster. Yeah. The great Dustin Hornby. So we had all of this talent, and yet nobody would listen to us. Why is that?
Well, I don't know if you can do instant ratings right now, if you have that capability, but it'd be interesting to see how many people have turned this off. That would be a clue right there.
Yeah, that's right.
But I remember a program director came to me one time, because I was kind of in the dumps about our ratings. Couldn't understand why we just weren't doing better. And he said, hey, I've got good news. I've got a different rating system that nobody else is using right now, but this one shows that you guys are number one in time spent listening.
Oh.
You don't have a very high rating, but those few people that do listen to you stay listening to you for a ridiculous amount of time. So I grasped onto that and hung on for a few more months.
It was all we had. Well, maybe here's why we couldn't get an audience. I was thinking about this, that election day in November of 1992, Bill Clinton won the presidency. As a morning radio show, we decided for some reason to put me on the early ferry to Whidbey to the little sleepy hollow of Clinton, Washington, because somebody named Clinton had just been elected president. It was the stupidest, most useless morning radio bit ever. Maybe that's why we couldn't get listeners.
Yeah, I remember I voted for Larry Kent that year, thinking it would be an easier trip for you. But I gotta say, Dory, they were really fun times. And every radio station I worked at, how long have you been on the air, by the way, on your show?
Pat,
what's it been, 50 years, 60?
Next week will be my 25th anniversary of doing this show.
Oh, my gosh. Oh, my gosh. I came on the air shortly after Marconi came up with the idea. And nice. I was on for maybe a total of 10 years on different stations. And the one thing that every station I worked at had in common was they were a failing station. And so I was always bucking a headwind every time we went, I started a new job. And I remember you coming to me one time and you said, Pat, they offered me this job, this my own talk show on Cairo. And I think it's way above my pay grade. I don't think I can do it. I don't think I can pull it off, and I won't get any ratings. And I said to you, I said, you're going to go to a station that is number one in the market. You've got a chance to succeed. Leave this sinking ship along with the rats and go forth. And you did.
Let
let me give a little prelude to your story, because you, Pat Cashman, are truly, I mean, less than a handful of people that I could count that I literally owe my radio career to. And when Cairo bought King 1090, they wanted you to go on this new FM talk station called The Buzz. And they didn't want me. And I was out of work for about a week. And I think you worked to get them, to convince them to hire me. And then, right after I got my foot in the door at Bonneville, I stabbed you in the back and tried to weasel my way into the noon to three slot on the mothership. But
that's
seriously
what that
and literally, I seriously and literally owe you my career, because they didn't want me; they wanted you.
Yeah. Well, how did that turn out? That's if the story ended right there, it'd be great. But it doesn't, as you know. I'll tell you what I have been doing is I've been doing a lot of writing. People, you know, might be interested. What am I doing since I'm not on the radio or TV now?
Yeah.
A lot of writing. Mostly nouns. And things like milk, bread, butter, mayonnaise.
Oh, nice.
I wrote mayonnaise this morning.
Did you spell it correctly?
I've been up to. And I watch a lot of TV. Which I, if any kids are listening out there, put the books down and start watching more TV. And what I like is to look into these reporters and these columnists' homes on these news programs, because you get to see how they live. You get to see the books that they have on their shelves. And I thought it'd be kind of cool to see at least one reporter in his background. He's got a stack of Playboys on his shelf. Various toupees, maybe a huge collection of awards and trophies that he never was awarded. Things he picked up at Value Village, bowling trophies, that kind of stuff. Maybe a cheese grater. That's what I would do if I was on right now. Other than that, I've watched Tiger King, and I found that to be too disturbing. So we started watching The Hamster King last night.
Okay. not the big cats, but just the big rodents.
Right. I went to a restaurant a few years ago with my friend Bob Nelson, and he said, you got to come to this restaurant. It's great. It's a great restaurant. The owner is a big fan of Almost Live, the old TV show. You must come, and the food's great, and you'll love it. So I go, I meet him there, and in we go, and then pretty soon the owner walks up to our table and looks kind of shocked to see me. And I said, what's up? He said, I'm delighted to see you. I had heard you were dead.
Well, look, I think people are going to walk past my funeral and say, I thought he was still alive. So I think you come out much better in that trade-off there.
Maybe he just meant professionally that I was dead. I don't know. Are you wearing a mask right now, by the way? Because it occurs to me, maybe I should.
You're holding the phone back. No. I have six feet arms, so.
Nice. My wife asked me to put a mask on as soon as I'm in her presence. I want to play something. 31 years ago Wednesday was April 1st this week. 31 years ago, there was a bit on Almost Live that has become just unbelievable.
This is almost like something you already played earlier. This is weird.
We interrupt our regularly scheduled programming for the following special report.
Good evening. Approximately 7 minutes ago, at 6:53 p.m., the Space Needle collapsed. Information at this point is incomplete. We do know that injuries are minimal. Fortunately, the needle was nearly empty when the accident occurred.
Okay, you are the announcer there, but working. I was working that evening at King 5 when all heck broke loose, and that was something else, Pat.
Yeah, it really was. King's Almost Live show was a weekly show, but it wasn't watched very much. And it would always air via videotape. But that particular day, April 1st, 1989, we tried something that they'd never done before. Let's air the show live, truly live, not almost live, first time ever. Mm-hmm. So the idea was in the writers' meeting, they said, hey, this will be kind of funny. Let's put something so preposterous on the air that no viewer would ever believe it. It'll be a pretend news bulletin. It'll be funny. It'll be great. So, yeah. You know, you heard my voice, and then we cut to a guy in the newsroom who's not a member of the regular Almost Live cast. So that was clearly a mistake because, you know, people would say, oh, that really is a news guy. I've never seen him on this show before. And he looked as serious as a funeral director, and he said, as you heard, the Space Needle has collapsed. And then we had shots of Space Needle had been done by our graphics department of what appeared to be the Space Needle looking like a broken erector set lying on the ground. And then we added to the verisimilitude an eyewitness account or two. So by then, then we just cut back to the show and went on as normal, never referred back to what we had just shown. And that's when the phone started lighting up. The 911 center started getting a flurry of calls. They couldn't keep up with them.
Unbelievable. I want to play one other thing. We only have a couple of minutes left here, but the thing you did I might call you again next hour. You did better than anybody was these production pieces. And there were a couple of national commercials on our radio station when we worked together, and they had the same announcer, and you had the brilliant idea to mash up these two commercials.
Olga Bank of San Diego, California is trying rich chocolate Ovaltine.
Awful. Burning and couldn't stand it.
A different kind of Ovaltine.
It really does take care of the itch.
And I never tried Ovaltine before.
Mike Tilson of Jonesboro, Georgia is trying Triple Action Gold Bond medicated powder.
It's got great chocolatey taste. Well, I was surprised.
Especially between my toes.
Chocolatey taste is excellent.
And then it just feels really comfortable.
Rich chocolate Ovaltine. The medicating action of a proven itch fighter. Its great taste will surprise you.
That's good.
It really does take care of the itch.
Try Triple Action Rich Chocolate Gold Bond medicated Ovaltine.
It really works.
Use only as directed.
That's good brilliant idea. Right there.
Yeah. Bite the hand of your advertisers when you're already struggling for ratings. Good thinking, Pat.
And it works. So funny. It works brilliantly.
You know, thanks for having me on twice. And
yes.
I'm wearing now a battery-operated face mask. I don't know if you saw these advertised years ago. You put it on. It's got electrodes in it, and it stimulates your facial nerves so that it creates beauty. It shocks your face into attractiveness in the way that a virgin margarita screws up tequila. And I'm really hopeful that this is going to work. I'll send you a picture. I think you'll see the improvement.
I think a lot or two of them. All right, let's not wait for the next global pandemic before we catch up with each other, okay?
Or the next recording session. You got it.
Thank you, Pat.
By the way, both of those producers should be fired.
No, they're the best in the world. Are you kidding me?
Look, I don't know what to do about getting fired. Let them go.
Okay. See you later. Bye. Pat Cashman, as I am catching up with my contacts during COVID. Hey, that worked out okay. That's a lot of live radio. You just eavesdropped in right there. We're going to check the news for you. The big lead at 2 and the White House Coronavirus Task Force briefing. Bring that to you live as the Dory Monson Show rolls on.